soulmate accidentally read it, there was no way that he would ever love me because this chapter was too embarrassing and we talked about poop. And I was letting my own fear get in the way of me actually changing lives. And it wasn't until I had this powerful intervention with the Tony Robbins coach, and she had me close my eyes and she said, Emmy, she's like, what is your vision for this book? And I said, if it can change or save one life, that's what I want. So I want you to see yourself. And I closed my eyes and I saw myself on stage, and I saw myself with a room full of all of these women, and they're looking at me and we're all sobbing together, sobbing in gratitude and recognition and sisterhood of thank you so much for sharing your story, because now I know I'm not alone. And that was the moment where I realized I was being very selfish by not publishing the book.
The Fearless and Successful podcast is hosted by your Hype Girl D, and it's designed for change makers just like you. As an activator of human potential and freedom architect, I have one mission with this podcast: to show you that you can be, do, and have anything you desire. I love all things money, mindset, and manifestation. I am so excited to share my personal hacks to help you activate your infinite potential. And I also will be sharing fearless stories from leaders around the world who designed life and business on their own terms. Remember, if we can do it, so can you. Fearless soul, if you're ready to dream big and make impact, let's get this party started. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, my fearless tribe. Oh my goodness. This one is a juicy one, and I'm not even exaggerating, because this topic is so dear to my heart. And if you have been following my journey, you know that I'm in the midst of deep love and deep loss, and I can't, like, this is the perfect timing to actually have this conversation with one and only love coach, Emmy Hernandez. Welcome.
Hello, hello. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me on your show. And you are right. This is juicy, and it is the season of juicy love. So I'm excited to be talking to you about this. Ooh. And I am very well aware with loss and heartache, and how to transform that into passion, magic, and bringing in all of your desires. So I'm so excited to be talking with you about this and all of your listeners.
Oh, yes. Oh, I feel it. I feel it. So much fun. And I really want to go straight into it. So Amy, tell me, like, we know, and sometimes it feels like, you know, everyone has their own story, why they started with the mission. I know this one is going to be a good one. So yeah, just let's go there. Why did you start with this? you know, what inspired you to have this mission?
Yes. You know, I'm going to say something that's super cliche, but in my world, this was absolutely true. I did not select my niche. My niche selected me. And what I mean by that is, never in my life did I think that I would be a love coach and that I would have a love brand around the world. In fact, I was embarrassed by it. And let me backtrack here for a moment. It all started with me building out an incredible career in Silicon Valley. I got to a point where I had built out an incredible marketing career. And then I was being asked to coach startups all over the world, tech startups, by Berkeley and Stanford. And I was being asked to speak in Tunisia, and business schools in Tunisia, and business schools in Uruguay, and business schools in Mexico. And I had built out this incredible career as a Silicon Valley tech executive. Had nothing to do with the love world. And I realized, so one of the things I had thought is, as I became more successful, I was going to be surrounded with more successful men. And that was true. However, they were not in the frequency that I wanted or needed. And I'm going to go into that in a little bit more. But let's just put a pin on the note here of that I was operating from, let's call it resume mode and what I call masculine mode, because I was trying to be a really good executive man because I thought that's what would bring in a power. That's what would create a power couple. Okay. And I was sorely mistaken. We're going to go into that a little bit later. But what I realized is I was trying to operate from the world of look at me, look at all of my achievements. Ooh. Okay. I
basically been there, done that.
Right? Yes, right. So for those of you ladies listening to this and your corporate baddies or entrepreneur baddies, like listen up, because our energy, when we are operating from our mode of achievements, first, it's coming from a trauma response of us not having had that level of recognition when we were little, okay? When we were not told, hey, you're good enough, either from mom or dad. So when we're constantly doing more and more and more and more and more, and you don't feel good enough, that is a trauma response for us to keep doing more. And for those of you who already have your master's degrees and are going for another double, triple certification, or trying to get your PhD, or yes, I'm talking to you. You don't need any more certifications. You don't need any more degrees. Okay, stop, pause. So I bring this up because so many of us who are constantly in achievement mode are also very sick. I've had an autoimmune disorder since I was 6 years old. And it got to a point, I actually wrote a memoir about this, and I was so embarrassed about it. I lived with constant pain. I was taking 22 painkillers a day when I was 21 years old, and the pain would never go away. I lived with acid in my esophagus, in my solar plexus, and it would not go away. And the doctor said I would have that for the rest of my life. I know we're jumping around a little bit, but I wanted to give you a little bit of the chronological order of how all this went down. I finally got to a point where I was at the peak of my career. I was speaking in stages in front of 10,000 people in Guadalajara, Mexico. So I thought, this is it. What else is there? I'm the best of the best in the world. By that point, I had published a book. I was speaking on literally global stages, and I was surrounded by all of these incredible men, yet when it came to my dating life, and I was dating on Bumble and Hinge and several different places. Well, first I was traveling so much that if I had one date, my next date was like a month later. That was not conducive to healthy dating. It got to a point where I realized this is not working. Something's broken and I'm the common denominator here. I decided that I needed to get some help because it wasn't working with me doing this by myself. And also, with me doing this by myself at 22, this is before I established my career, 22, I was actually abducted for 2 years with a man who I thought I loved and adored. We're not going to get too much into that, but suffice to say that Stockholm Syndrome is real. I lived it. I breathed it. I was physically able to leave this man, but I was not psychologically or emotionally able to leave. And by 25, I had filed for bankruptcy because he took all my money. And I was one day from booking myself into a psych ward because I had found what narcissism was. And I was a victim of, for 2 years by a man. And I can tell you that I was basically a walking skeleton. I didn't know what was real. I didn't know what life was. I didn't know what reality versus fake was. It was a very scary time. So I had gone through that, being abducted. And then I had been through like, okay, now I have a kick-ass career and I'm doing amazing. And I still can't bring in a healthy guy. What's going on? I was attracting more narcissists or losers. Here is the other side of the spectrum. I was attracting a lot of men who are submissive or wouldn't take initiative and wanted me to do everything. And I was like, this is not sexy, because you're like, oh, I don't want to have sex with you because you're not taking the initiative. You're not leading. I want you to lead. And I finally got some help. I hired some coaches for a year, went through a year-long program with them, completely changed my life. I realized I was operating in basically being the project manager of the universe. And as is in this lead energy, I did not know the concept of feminine energy, the concept of receiving, the concept of planting a seed and allowing patience and nurturing and the love to take care of that. So I'm going to fast forward, learned all those concepts, rewired my belief systems, changed my DNA into a new identity, right? Upgraded all the software, both body and mind. And once I did that, I attracted the love of my life, soulmate, Matt. I am with Matt now. We've been married for 2 years. We've been together for 6. My life today is, I can't even describe to you how cherished I am every single day, how adored I am, how spoiled I am. And I've become kind of like a useless human being at home because he does everything for me. And it's freaking amazing. I am a spoiled brat and I love it. And he still comes to see me speak on stages and he's the number one supporter and the number one sexy man who's like, he loves seeing me on stage. So you can have all of that, but there needs to be a switch within us to recognize that I'm not doing this from a place of accomplishments. I'm doing this because I'm worthy and deserving because I'm alive. And once I met Matt, once I announced the engagement, I started getting floods of DMs. How did you meet him? How did you do this? What's going on? And that's when I realized, oh my goodness, there are hundreds of women out there who are having the same issues as I did. But because it's taboo to talk about it, everyone was suffering in silence. And 2 weeks after I got engaged, I launched a mini course for 12 women. And that has now turned into a multiple 6-figure business. We're moving on, we're scaling now into 7 figures.
Wow. Where do I even, like, there's so many questions, but I just want to, you know, just honor you for, and seeing you for the journey you've gone through. And now, like, really, there is a purpose in pain, and really using that so beautifully to inspire, encourage, and support other women to find and attract their soulmate. I want to go back to, you know, that I just want to say, like, I've been there. When you said you don't need another degree or certification, I'm like, okay, she's calling me out totally, because I've been there where
so I was yes, calling myself out too.
Yeah, because for me, like, and I talked about this on my podcast many times, how I, and I, that was my choice. By no means, I was not in a narcissistic relationship. I just found myself in a relationship that was very codependent, where I took care of everything. And I was basically the man and the woman and the mom and the dad, you know. But it was because I didn't know better. Because, you know, like you said, it was that inner child that was so hurt. Like, you know, the trauma response was, I don't want to get abandoned. I'm going to take care of everything because no one's going to leave me. So that was, like, really, really for me. And still, you know, what is funny, when we separated, it was still so hard for me to even, it was not, the cord was cut way long, like when we decided to, we knew that there's no love, there is nothing, you know. But it was just this, like, who am I now when I'm not all of these things?
Yes.
Right? Like, I'm not a wife anymore. I'm not, like, a slave anymore. I'm not, like, you know, I don't provide. I was so lost, my identity, that was just like, oh, I went on a journey of deep healing. And yeah, so I just know that this is such an important work that you do for women, because everyone deserves to
not to just be loved or to love someone, but to be love, to be an embodiment of love. And yeah, it's so exciting. So I want to go into this before we start with the juiciness and how actually to attract your soulmate. Tell us, what actually is soulmate for women who are still, I know that my women listening to this, or even men, know what that is, but you know, what how do you define the soulmate?
Yes, I love this. I love this because we can all have our own definition of soulmate, right? And I will give you mine. Does it have to be what everyone takes on? No, it is very, everyone can have their own definition. For me, it's a very grounded definition of what soulmate means now in this day and age in modern love. For me, a soulmate means an equal partner in life. Okay. And what I mean by that is that you do life together as independent, free agents. I am autonomous and so is my husband. I am free and so is my husband. And we did not do the normal vows. We did not get married in a church because we didn't want to follow the vows of the church. I am not submissive to him. He is not submissive to me. We are also not two becoming one. We are independent beings, each of us creating and coming together to enhance each other's mission on the planet. We do not have the same mission on the planet. So for me, it's a very grounded sort of word that is what it means to be free and independent in this day and age, which is what one of the biggest things that I help my independent, amazing, like high vibe ladies do is I need to rewire them into recognizing that healthy love equals independence. Many of my ladies unconsciously block love, block relationships because they fear losing the independence and everything they work so hard for. So that's the grounded definition. I add the spiritual side to it. The spiritual side for me is when you meet your soulmate, and this was very much true for myself and all my clients who meet their person, is you will remember each other's soul. Okay. So beyond the grounded definition of you are equal partners in life is the definition and the recognition of you feel like you've had multiple lifetimes together before. My husband, before we met, had deja vu. I do not get deja vu. He had deja vu, he said, 3 times total before we met. The week we met, he had deja vu 15 times. And he would keep telling me, he's like, this is super weird. He's like, we already did this. We already did this. We already did this. Okay. So that was a sort of, and he is not by any means like a guy who does yoga and spiritual. He has never been on a spiritual retreat. He does not do yoga. He does not meditate. Okay. So this is not a man who has gone down the path of personal development. You would say like he's super like spiritual. He's spiritual with me, but this is just allowing God and the universe to send those messages. So that's a little bit of a convoluted soulmate response, but for me, that's what it means. And also very important is that in soulmate love, there's no suffering, very clear, okay, in the relationship. And when hurt happens, it is on accident and unintentional, and it is resolved quickly. So this idea of being in a relationship, this is where a lot of people will talk about twin flames quickly. A lot of people who think they're in twin flames relationships are actually in very toxic relationships. This idea that you have to challenge each other consistently, that's a lie. That's a myth. In soulmate love relationship, you do not challenge your partner and they don't challenge you. You inspire each other. You grow together. But this idea of challenge, don't we have enough challenges in life as it is? Why would you want to push each other to do something? Inspiring is very different. I'll pause there for now.
I love what you said, and I think for all people who are listening, because we talk about spirituality so much here, that I think it's so important to just emphasize: you don't need to be spiritually awakened to meet your soulmate. So that's like really, really cool that you said that, and I can totally, like, you know, I know. I have so many, like, and going into friendships and just like having so many soulmates in terms of friends, I have these moments of, we've been here before. So many moments. Like, it's just so crazy. And yes, it is how you said it so beautifully. We get to inspire each other and support each other. And it's every like little maybe trigger happens so unintentional. It does. It's never about, I'm gonna challenge you. So it's, that's so, so important to actually, because I know that a lot of my friends are going through that discovery of, oh, is it the one? Is it the soulmate? Is it a twin flame? So it's like we get so much. So I'm so happy that you actually, you know, kind of pinpointed what that is. So now focusing on women and our ladies who are listening to this. So what would you say it's like, you mentioned some of your hurdles, but when you talk about your clients, what is one of the biggest challenges that or kind of limiting beliefs that they have around meeting their soulmate? What do they actually believe around soulmates and their like having that equal partnership?
Yes. So there are a few of the major ones, right? So first of all, this is very important. For anytime you go to a conference or anytime you work on this and somebody tells you, write down your limiting beliefs. And this is my personal opinion on this because of the work that I've done. Okay. It is a good start, but by default, a limiting belief is unconscious. So you actually you are completely unaware of it. So if for whatever reason you've worked on a limiting belief with any coach, which I do this as well with NLP, something comes up later, don't beat yourself up, okay? Be compassionate with yourself, especially if you think, I already worked on this. Here's why. True limiting beliefs are completely unconscious and you're unaware of them. So there's no way that you can actually write them down. Okay. This is why I do something called recodes with my clients, where we upgrade the DNA. I can actually go into the DNA helix, pull out what no longer serves them, and implement and create and command the new belief system. Okay. Some of the major ones that we address are, men are unsafe. Okay. This is cognitive dissonance. I have not met a woman, I have yet to, maybe one day we'll get to this on the planet, who has not had some sort of dangerous encounter with a man. Whether it was their own family members. I was molested when I was 4 years old by a family member, and I had to live with this predator for a decade. Okay, I have no memories for that decade because my brain shut down as a protective mechanism. Thank goodness. I remembered it 30 years later, so I had to address it 30 years later, okay? A lot of that comes from a lot of religious trauma as well, and recognizing a lot of things that happened to us when we were little girls. When we grow up, we think somehow we're dirty or unworthy, okay? So it's not, if you're thinking you're dirty or unworthy or undeserving of love, it's not coming from the adult version of you. It's coming from a decision that you created before, when through conception, before 5 years old. We're just repeating the pattern. Okay. So be kind to yourself in that. Another one is the fear of losing themselves. The fear of losing their independence. Because we see so many women and men go into relationships and then disappear from the world, disappear from their friends, and they become so codependent because they think their life revolves around them. My life does not revolve around my husband. My life revolves around me. My husband is an amazing added bonus cherry on top of the sundae I created. Because here's what's very important. My husband cannot make me happy. I'm going to repeat that. Your soulmate's job is not to make you happy. Only you can do that. Only I am responsible for my own happiness. I'm responsible, accountable for my own happiness. A healthy partner can only enhance the frequency that you're already putting out in the world. This is why it's very dangerous for women who are looking for a savior, right? And they're broke, they're having a really hard time with life, and they just want a man to come in and take care of the bills and save them. The only thing that can happen is you become their victim. Because by default, a man that wants to save you is someone who wants to control you. My husband knows he doesn't need to save me. But guess what? I create a lot of moments where I am useless on purpose. Like, I have not opened a jar of pickles in 6 years because my husband does that for me. Because I hand him off. I'm like, I need help. Thank you. Okay. I have not touched the trash in 6 years because he has designated that to be his job because princess hands don't touch trash. Oh my goodness. Right?
So cute.
Right? So this goes beyond competence, but it's the recognition of what we want to do for each other. So those are some of the major fears. A lot of the one that women don't understand is the fearing men, but yet wanting to be on the dates, right? Or saying they don't want a relationship yet being on the dating apps. There's cognitive dissonance there. So what I do is help them realize like, okay, you do want a partnership. You do want to be in a relationship, but it has to have these values. Yes. Mm-hmm. So if they match these values, is this what you want? They're like, yes. Okay, awesome. So I want you to know that just because X person cheated in the past, that doesn't mean that this person is going to cheat, but we need to shift her frequency in order to not continue to find another cheating man. Because if her blueprint states that her father cheated and her first husband cheated, then she's going to go find more cheaters on accident. That's how the law of attraction works, baby.
Ladies, go back and listen to this again. This is actually so, so true because now I'm talking to my best friend. If you listen to this, I know you are. and it's so, so freaking, like we like you said, we're not aware of these things. We are not aware of these things because my pattern was like, you know, my dad was an alcoholic. My brother was a drug addict. And then my ex-husband was a gambler, and you know, recently when I in my previous relationship, he was all of the addictions, all of them, you know, even the juicy ones that we like, and you know, SEX. So that was like, you know, oh my god, that on the top. So it was really I attracted that. I attract that. And once I really got aware of that, and it was this the trigger of abandonment, when I just, I was there, left alone. And I was like, oh, you know, this is like my four-year-old me just being there. My father just left me. All that came back, and I was just like, this has to stop. And walking away also consciously knowing that I have to fix, not fix, but actually go on my own journey of discovering why am I keep attracting men like that? Where I'm not feeling safe with myself, right? Because it's just this trauma bonding all of the time. Because I don't feel safe with myself. And I have to tell you, like, you coming at this point is like everything is clicking. So wow, wow, wow. You know, when we say like when student is ready, teacher appears. I'm here. I hear you, sister. I hear you. And I'm so happy. Like, this is so, so good. Like, it's landing because even if I would, I, you know, we've been in personal development for so long. You read the books. You listen to the podcast, but it's just not landing until you actually experience and you're like so consciously, and you're like, No, I have to get out of myself from the matrix. I've been in this story for too long, you know. And now when you're saying like it's landing, it's like everything is clicking. So I'm so, so happy. And
I love that.
going
Makes
back
my
to,
heart happy.
going back to beliefs and just like, and you kind of said also how you, what are the methods that you are like using to switch them? What would you say, like, if someone is listening and saying like me, like, yeah, this is like, it's landing. What would you say would be like the best kind of way for them to kind of go on that path of healing, on finding solutions? You know, what would be some of the ways that you recommend, like here on the podcast, some of the solutions, tips, tricks, hacks?
Yes. So I have a few books that are my absolute favorites. And they're, each book is going to have their own magic, right? I have yet to find the book, which means the universe is telling me I have to write it, that encompasses all of the elements. And what I mean by that is that there's mindset work, right? There's healing work, like energetic work, upgrading your DNA. And then there's skill set work. A lot of people skip this part. What do I mean by that? Just like we learn to read and write and do math, it's a skill set to communicate with another human being. We're not born with that skill set. We need to learn it. And a romantic partnership, we spend so much time in corporate dollars in teaching people how to communicate in business, but we just pretend people are supposed to know how to communicate in love. And that is so false. No, we need to learn that too, which is why I created Soulmate Love University. So here are some of my favorite books, all right? So the first one I started with and I have all my clients start with is The Soulmate Secret, okay? The Soulmate Secret by Arielle Ford is absolutely magical. She goes into how the law of attraction works specifically for love. Okay. And I love that she didn't meet her person until I think she was 53 or 54. Don't quote me on the exact number, but she was in her 50s. Amazing relationship that she has with her partner. And she goes through rituals and what to do in your home and prompts and journaling to do to shift your energy into the frequency of gratitude in the energy of eager anticipation instead of impatience. I'm going to repeat that because eager anticipation and impatience feel the same in the body. But you need to choose which one it is. It's the same thing as you being nervous or being excited. The body doesn't know the difference. You need to command it to tell it, hey, I'm eagerly anticipating my man's arrival versus, oh, why isn't he here yet? See the difference? Right? So you can be excited about one before someone comes along.
I really love this because, you know, in law of attraction, we know that trust is so important. And what you're saying is like, when you're impatient, you basically don't trust that this is already done. When you're eagerly anticipating, it's like, yeah, it's done. I know it. I feel it. So it's like, it's so, so good that you put it like this. Oh, I love this. This is so much fun.
I'm so glad you like it. Because it's so important, because the energy of impatience will actually repel your desires. So you're pushing them away and making them take longer to receive when you're just you go about your day with the excitement of today's the day I meet my soulmate. And every day you wake up with today's the day I meet my soulmate. It changes the energy and how you operate and the love you pour out into the world, not just for your soulmate, but for the male person, for the cashier, for everyone in the world. When you operate from the form of everything I desire is here and it's coming to me at the perfect time, it doesn't matter. Because I always tell my clients, no matter what, you're still going to have a first date with your soulmate. I didn't know the day that I went on my first date with my person that he was the one, like the right before the date. I didn't know that, but I still had to have a first date.
You didn't tell us if you met him on the dating app. I think that's
I did. Yes, we met on Bumble. There's another thing that the ladies have, like, Emmy, I want to meet someone organically, not on a dating app. Honey, baby, get with the times. If you really do not believe in the dating apps, stop using Google.
Okay.
Right? We have to use technology. Because we think, oh, I want to meet how my mom and dad met or how my grandma met. Honey, baby, they didn't have choices. Our ancestors were property.
They
were a means of exchange. Don't dismiss the opportunities and the blessings that the universe has given you.
This is so much fun.
The technology so from 50 years ago was the newspaper. Do you know that people put out classified ads to meet each other? Okay, it wasn't that long ago that people were using Craigslist in the US. So thank goodness that there's an app now that actually keeps us safer, by the way, because you do not have to put out your personal private contact information. You can keep it within a specific way. This is why a huge part of my training is called enlightened dating. Okay. Mm-hmm. There's an entire way of doing of dating correctly. 99% of the women's profiles I see are there completely wrong because they're either trying to attract sexually or they're repelling by putting out their non-negotiables in their profile instead of attracting with gratitude.
Oh, so good. So good. Okay?
Don't put out your non-negotiables. Write your non-negotiables in your journal, but don't put them out there because it makes you sound kind of mean and bitchy. You say, don't swipe right if, don't swipe if. Like, no, stop doing the don't. Okay, if you're familiar with the law of attraction, every time you say don't, it's the universe works in absolutes. So when you say don't, I don't want a cheater, you're attracting cheaters. What you want to say is, I want a loyal man. That's very, sounds like the same, sounds like a technicality. It's not. The energy about it is very different.
So good. All of the above.
I have two more books that I want to give your audience. This goes into more of the strategy session of how to actually communicate because the male and female brain do not operate the same way. And by the way, I am an ally of the LGBTQ community. Okay. So I'm not saying that it has to be this way. If you happen to be male and female who are looking for partnership, these are the books. And even if you are not in a heterosexual relationship, they're important because you're going to understand how your brain works and your partner's brain works. Okay. So Alison Armstrong is the author. There are two books that I recommend. They're both on Audible. One is The Amazing Development of Men. Okay. This is a must read for every single one of my clients. They are not allowed to continue the course until they read this book. And the other one is Understanding Women. Okay. Also by Alison Armstrong. One of them is just audio and not a book. She's got tons and tons and tons of audio courses. Those are the two main ones that help you understand how to properly communicate and how to, as strong masculine women bringing in feminine energy, how to not emasculate your partner. This is very important. Emasculation destroys a lot of relationships and it creates this level of disrespect. And it's very easy for women who have been in corporate and who are leaders in their world to accidentally emasculate their partners. I see this happen all the time. I actually see executive women and CEOs tell their audiences that they need to delegate to their spouse. I completely disagree. You delegate to your team, okay? You can delegate all you want to the people that work for you. Never, ever, ever delegate to a spouse. You can have conversations with your spouse about who's being the lead on life things and home things, but delegating, how dare you?
No, so good. So good. I love this so much because that's so, so, so important. So, because, you know, that's like, yeah, this is so good.
I'm glad you like it. Yes. And that just the emasculation part. Alison talks a lot about that, but this is something that I work a lot on with my clients to reverse all of the things that we learned. I'm going to call it from the Hillary Clinton era. All right. The pantsuit nation of us. We were trying to compete to be better men than men. Men are always going to be better men than we are. I'm trying to figure out how to be the best woman I can be. I'm not trying to grow a penis. I don't want one. I'm very happy with my vulva and my vagina and my reproductive organs. I do not want a penis. They seem like they get in the way. I'm very happy that my husband has one and we use it to operate however we like, right? So the only way that we can be the best version of ourselves is for us to know that we are enough exactly the way we are and how we feel about ourselves, as opposed to trying to be something better, having a better resume in order to attract a better man. And this is very important. High value, healthy men do not care about your resume. Let me repeat that. High value, healthy men do not care about your resume. That doesn't mean that they're looking for a submissive partner. Not at all. They're trying to see, can you be playful? Mm-hmm. Can you laugh at yourself? Mm-hmm. Can you go out and play mini golf? Can you go out and do these fun little activities and not have to keep score? Any man or woman keeps score on a date, red flag, peace out.
Ah, so good. I love that. Oh my God. You know, that's why I think, you know, one of my dates on Tinder, that's why I just don't like Tinder. Just
Tinder's actually one of the apps that I tell my clients to not get on.
Oh my God.
Good ones. You can do whatever you want, but yeah.
One asked me on the first date to pay for a drink. The second one wanted to kick my ass in the pool.
Oh my goodness.
So ladies, I have plenty of bad Tinder stories. So yeah. No. But yeah. That is so, so, so cool. Like, I love that you said that, you know, that's such a important perspective. Like, no, don't keep a score. No.
Yeah. I mean, tell you a quick little story of how my husband sort of operates in this world. My husband is really good at golf. He'll tell you he's not, but he is. He was on a team for many years, not a professional team, but sort of like school team. And in comparison to us in our skill level, I'm like at -5 at golf, right? And he is, let's give him a 10, right? And the first time we went out together, he was so impressed. He's like, honey, you're really good at this. He's like, you hit it straight. You hit the ball straight. And I said, is that not normal? He's like, no, most people splice it to the left or to the right. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm just doing my thing. Honestly, I just went golfing because I wanted to drive the little golf cart. And I'm really, really bad at driving those, but I have so much fun. So he made sure that I drove the golf cart the entire time. And we just had so much fun. I was chasing geese. It was amazing. I found out on the first time playing golf that you want a lower score, not a higher score. Okay. I didn't know this. I know it sounds silly. And so we had a little score pad that we were keeping track of score. He let me keep track of the scores, knowing that I don't know how to score anything. So the way I was scoring our entire game was with emojis. I put little emoji faces, some emoji kissy faces, some hearts, silly faces on there. And at the end of the entire game, I only played like half of the holes because I got tired. And we were just kind of following each other around. By the end, when we were leaving, I had added, I think I wrote 1,000,000 points next to his name and like 2 next to mine. Obviously, you know, if you're keeping score, that would have been a horrible score for him to have. And he thought it was the most hilarious thing ever, right? So we turned this into a playful outing, which is what it means to be in a healthy relationship, because we knew we weren't actually keeping score. Okay, this is what it means to be in a healthy, modern relationship with someone who treats you as an equal, but you know that you don't need to consciously be one-upping. I see this too much in power couples and even non-power couples, where they don't recognize, stop keeping score. Have fun, be joy. The number one thing that couples, where I do my couples coaching, the number one thing they lose when they've been together for a little while is they lose the playfulness. Once the playfulness is gone, the relationship deteriorates very, very quickly.
Yeah, that's that. Be playful, be playful. That's so, so important. I think that, you know, and this is what I found also in business. You know, I've been an entrepreneur for 20 years. And I think, like, for me, when I lost the playfulness in business, it became so clear that no, I need to shift. I need to pivot. I need to change the dynamics with the relationship that I have with the money, with the business, with the clients and everything. It's not fun anymore. Yeah, you have to have fun. That's the number one thing, you know. What is exciting in your world right now?
Oh my goodness, a gazillion things. But I'll tell you what comes top of mind is that I, after 2 years of my followers begging, I'm officially launching my podcast, Confessions of a Loveaholic. Yes, and is named this way specifically because most of the people I come across are addicted, baby, to love, or what they think love is, equals trauma bonds. So we are going to be kind of reverse engineering what a trauma bond is and helping, having guest experts, including yourself. I'm so happy that you're coming on the show. So that's what's most exciting right now, because it is letting my global audience see how do I actually operate. We're going to have guest experts and we're going to have actual breakthrough sessions on there. So people who I don't know, I've never met, are going to come on and we're going to have an intimate yet global intervention. My interventions are intense. Anyone who's ever met me, they come through a session, they walk away kind of like, your brain will be so jumbled because I rearranged the furniture up here. And we also changed your DNA. And your body will take about 30 days to upgrade. It will feel like a flu. It will feel like you got COVID. But we need to kill off the cells of your identity that no longer serve you. So that's going to be a blast.
Oh, good. I'm so excited. And, you know, yeah, I'm so excited. You also mentioned during our chat, our conversation, Soulmate University. Tell us what that is. If people are like, you know, I want to know more. I want to work with this woman. I want to get more information. How does actually modern love works in practice?
Yes, yes, yes. I love it. So Soulmate Love University is the organization that I created because I realized we get taught so many things in the corporate life, even in the spiritual realm, the certifications and all these things, but we don't get taught that there's an actual checklist to bring to healthy love. So I created Soulmate Love University, and there are two tracks. I help women find their soulmate, and I also help couples bring back the spark. Okay, especially couples who work together. The romance starts to die when you work together because they get so caught up in the masculine energy. So you can find me at, there's two different sites that you can find. One's being loaded at the moment, but Soulmate Love University, find me the contact page on there. I have easy memberships, monthly memberships. You can come, take what you need and leave when you need, as long as you get your results. And I also have VIP packages, women who are like, Emmy, I don't want to dabble in this. Like, I'm ready to find my soulmate now. Like, just rewire everything we need to. Let's fast track the results. And we work together on a weekly basis so that we rewire everything in your life and just transform everything in 12 months. And you can, if you're looking specifically just for membership and you want to just check out some of the newsletter, I launched a new free newsletter you can join. And that is on howtomeetmysoulmate.com.
Oh, super easy. So amazing.
howtomeetmysoulmate.com. And I hope to see y'all there. And I hope that we can continue our conversations because this is obviously something we can talk. And I do talk about for 3-4 days at my retreats. So it's never ending, right? I love it.
So much fun because it's like you walk the talk, you know, and that's so it's so amazing. And you guys or my ladies, if you're ready to really, you know, find your soulmate, we're going to put all the links in the show notes and you connect with Amy. We're going to also put some social media links so you can say hi and give her a feedback. What did you like from the episode? Tag both of us on Instagram. And before we wrap it up, I think this is the longest episode because you guys, you know that I'm sucker for love. But I need to ask you because I one of my core beliefs is that and why this podcast started and my brand started is the fearless is actually the opposite of love. And I think that when people say like, but you can't be fearless. Yeah, when you operate in a place of love, when you are love, you can't, the fear doesn't exist. And I want to know, what was a moment in your career, in your life, when you felt shit scared, you did it anyway. And now when you look back, it's like, this was the best decision ever.
Oh my goodness, so many moments.
Yeah, I know.
Now I'm trying to think like Which one was one of the biggest ones? I'll tell you one of the ones where I actually had an intervention from one of the Tony Robbins coaches, because I kind of refused to do this. Before I met my soulmate, I had this download. I had a download that woke me up at 3 a.m. and told me, you need to write this book. And this was my memoir about my personal story. Ladies, my personal story describes, if anybody out there has ever had any digestive issues, IBS, Crohn's, you know, it's not pretty. None of the details are pretty, right? It describes human body parts that we don't want to talk about. And it describes bodily fluids that the body does that we have no control over. So part of my memoir had a chapter in it that, to me, I found embarrassing. And I had written this book based off like the download I got from Soulmate, and it took me a whole year. And I knew I needed to publish it, but I didn't want to, for one main reason. Because I was afraid that whoever read this, if my soulmate accidentally read it, there was no way that he would ever love me, because this chapter was too embarrassing. We talked about poop. And I was letting my own fear get in the way of me actually changing lives. And it wasn't until I had this powerful intervention with the Tony Robbins coach, and she had me close my eyes, and she said, Emmy, she's like, what is your vision for this book? And I said, if it can change or save one life, that's what I want. So I want you to see yourself. And I closed my eyes and I saw myself on stage, and I saw myself with a room full of all of these women. And they're looking at me and we're all sobbing together, sobbing in gratitude and recognition and sisterhood of, thank you so much for sharing your story, because now I know I'm not alone. And that was the moment where I realized I was being very selfish by not publishing the book. It got published. It completely changed my trajectory of my success in the corporate world. And to this day, I can tell you, my husband knows all of the details that happened in my past with my body. And when it's your soulmate, he doesn't love you despite your past. He loves you because of it. He finds me so much more endearing because of my past. He's so proud of what I had to go through to get to him. And I'm just so happy that I didn't let fear get in the way. And that's just one of them. But I did want to share a vulnerable part of the story that not really something I like to bring up, but I'm proud of it now. And yeah, that's where my fear came to success.
Oh, so beautiful. Thank you for sharing. And that's so, just how you said it, he loves you because of your past. And I think this is so, so important to just being mindful of, that your past is the part of you. It doesn't make you who you are. It's just one part of you. And you can always be so, so grateful, find gratitude for that part, because it led you where you are right now. Sometimes we just forget, you know, all the painful stories, but you are here, you know, they led you here because you have a mission to actually turn that pain into purpose. And it's so, so, so important. And, you know, and once more, you know, we just published a today, when we are recording this, we just went out with the podcast episode where this lady who was on the podcast, she was talking about everyone has a book in you, write the freaking book and publish it, because it's so, so, so good, because you never know. It's just that one person that you can really, like, you can change life of one person. That's enough. So, Emmy, thank you for being the trailblazer, for, you know, just paving the way for all the women who are not just looking for love, but to actually to be the light in the world, to share their love with the world. And so, so, so good. I'm just so grateful.
Thank you so much. It's been absolute honor. I loved all of your questions. And as you can tell, I'm very passionate about this topic. And I can tell you that this is not a niche for me. This is my soul's calling. I will be doing love coaching until my dying breath.
So good. I feel it. I feel it. Oh, thank you so much, you guys. You know where to find all the info. Have fun and don't forget to be awesome. Thanks, Emmy.
Thank you.
My fearless soul, thank you so much for tuning in and taking the time to listen to this episode. I appreciate you and I am so excited to hear from you. If you haven't yet, please go to kite.link/insider and leave a review. Extra points if you screenshot this episode and post it on your IG stories and tag me at Diana Lugoli and tell me what's your big takeaway. With that being said, I'm sending you a daily dose of D. I love you and I'm so grateful for you. Till infinity. Mwah.